like to call this meeting to order. This is the first meeting of 2016 for the Oceano Community Services District Board of Directors meeting, January 13, 2016. Welcome, everybody.
Good evening.
Karen, can I ask you to lead us in the first flag salute of the year?
Yeah. Attention, salute.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you.
Welcome.
So let's start with a roll call. How's that?
Director Angelo?
Here.
Director Blackburn?
Here.
Director Guerra?
Here.
Vice President White?
Here.
President Lucy?
Here. Thanks. Does anybody have any changes to the agenda, additions?
Well, Madam President, we do. But first, I would like to introduce to everybody Nicole Miller, who is with Celia, and she's been on staff since October and is doing some cross-training today as your board's clerk. And I think both Nicole and Celia have modifications or additions to the agenda.
Thanks. Welcome, Nicole. Okay.
Mr. Shecker's clapping for you.
Madam President, members of the board, Nicole Miller, the account administrator, and I have provided additions to the agenda item 7B, approval of cash disbursements. There's three items that have been added. $184.42 in payments to SEIU for union dues. $55 payment to Safety Clean for oil disposal has been added due to a deadline. And $4 for a Rabobank credit card for minimum interest charge fees. We need to get that paid before the due date to avoid incurring additional fees.
Okay, so when we go to the consent form, when we go to the consent agenda, can you please add these? To approve with the warrant packet under consent.
So the motion at that point would be as amended?
Correct.
And then Celia has a change that doesn't relate to action, but informational.
Madam President, members of the board, Celia Ruiz, board secretary, I have provided corrections to agenda item 7B, which includes incorrect payroll summaries. The corrected payroll summary shows the correct general manager's gross pay. The item in the posted agenda had errors. The error resulted from an adjustment made in the payroll for pay period ending in 10/31/15, which reduced the GM's pay for only that pay period. Due to a mistake in a prior pay period, this affects no action for your board. It was an informational item only.
Thank you. Thank you, Celia.
Thanks for bringing that to our attention. We appreciate that. Okay. Do you have anything else that you want to add to the agenda before we approve the agenda? No? How are you, Mr. Minery?
I am fine. Happy New Year.
Happy New Year to you, too. It's nice seeing you. Okay, I'll entertain a motion to accept the agenda with the
motion.
Corrected amendments.
We
second.
Approve the agenda as amended. I'll get it out, yeah.
Okay. And Director Angelo seconded that? Okay. Can we get a roll call on that, Celia?
Vice President White?
Yes.
Director Angelo?
Yes.
Director Blackburn?
Yes.
Director Guerrero?
Yes.
President Lucy?
Yes. Okay. Passes. At this time, let's take public comment for items that are not on the agenda. First public comment of the year. So we're going to start off with Ms. Naylor and then followed by Mr. Varney.
Where do I go? Here?
You.
Either.
Well, Happy New Year to everybody. I have two items. One, people tell me isn't relevant, but I thought I'd throw it out anyway for informational purposes. I wanted to protest the rate increase for the sanitation district, mostly because I haven't had a chance to actually study it yet, and I didn't get notice until today that the meeting was going to be held on December 30th. That was probably a problem with my mail delivery, but I'm going to protest it anyway, and hopefully they'll accept a late protest. The other thing is a suggestion. What would be the legality if you guys actually invested in a water purifying machine? Like, you can go to Safeway or Vons, and for 25 cents you can fill up a gallon of water that goes through a reverse osmosis machine. Would it be possible for the CSD to do that under their water powers? And somehow, if they make a profit, which I don't know what the profit would be, they could put it into water education for the community or some other good cause. And that way people wouldn't have to walk so far to the gas station or to the market all the way up in Arroyo Grande to get purified water through a reverse osmosis machine. And that's all I have to say.
Well, thank you for your very creative ideas. Okay, Mr. Vernier, how are you tonight?
I'm doing well.
Good.
Thank you so much, and Happy New Year to you all. Well, the big time has finally arrived. The final EIR has been released, and lo and behold, the 11 Class 1 environmental impacts are still there exactly as they were a year ago. That has not changed at all. There's a couple of interesting changes. The EIR confirms that there are sufficient local sources of crude oil that the Phillips 66 oil train terminal project is not needed to supply oil for the refinery. Well, talk about jerking the rug out from somebody. That's new in the EIR. We've got plenty of local oil if they kept their pipelines cleaned up and maintained. The word preemption occurs 23 times in the executive summary. Mm. Preemption is the word that means the federal government controls the railroad tracks, the trains, the cargo, the safety, and we don't have anything to say about it on a local level or on a state level. And anytime the state tries to say something about it, the oil companies, the train companies, the railroads go into court and fight it and challenge it and give campaign contributions to politicians to vote the way that they want them to. Your San Luis Obispo County CAL FIRE fire chief, Bob Lewin, in an interview a few weeks ago, I'm quoting him, said this: "We can't do anything about trains carrying volatile crude. We can't say anything. We can't touch the rail cars. We have one choice, one chance to stop these trains from coming in, and that's denying the project. And your agency has the opportunity now that the final EIR is out, there's no more questions, to go on record against this project like two other beach cities have done, Grover and Pismo, the city of San Luis Obispo, and municipalities and school districts up and down the rail line. Each train weighs, get this, more than 17 million pounds loaded with crude oil, rolling across 100 plus year-old trestles and bridges. You know the train bridge going across Monterey Street up in San Luis Obispo? Look at the date on it, 1906. Time's up. Quickly, we have on January 28th scheduled a debate and forum on the Phillips 66 project, but it seems like there's been, I'm not sure what the status is, if there's a location yet, and I just wondered if at some point Director Blackburn could give a status update on that. It's only 2 weeks away, and we need to get publicity out.
Right. Thank you. Thank you so much.
Thank you, Charles.
And we really appreciate you keeping us current and up to date on all of that, and I would encourage people to pull that EIR, the Environmental Impact Report, up and look at it so
you're more informed about what's happening in your area. Before we go into number six, I first wanted to say that I apologize for not being at the last meeting. Oh, we're not done with public comment.
I think you have some other people that were waiting also.
I was going by slip, so apologize. But Ms. Thacker, please go ahead.
I actually heard you tell Mr. Carter he didn't need a slip. So,
right. So go ahead.
So, my name is Julie Thacker, and I would like to piggyback on Mr. Varney's comments. And the word preemption and what that means with the Phillips 66 project is the word that your district needs to embrace. Identify your infrastructure that could be damaged by the project, and there is nothing that should hold you back from making a political statement. You are a political entity. Every one of you was elected by the people of Oceano to make hard choices and to represent them. I do not know why you have been silent on this issue for months. There's no reason. You were not silent on the dust rule probably 4 years ago. You were not silent. And if you can't convince the entire body of the Oceano Community Services District Board to make a statement as a board, then I want to hear from each of you. Make a statement. I didn't see letters from you in the comment section of the draft EIR from any of you. And maybe I missed them. But now's the time you need to be on record protecting your community, individually or as a whole. I encourage you to do it as a whole, because you are the first community in the blast zone, and all of your community will be decimated by a disaster.
Thank you, Ms. Thacker. Mr. Carter, I'm sorry.
Thank you, OCSD Board. My name is John Carter. I live at 1678 and 1778 Aloha Place, Security Court. The reason I'm here is that I'd like to continue what I said at the Sanitation District meeting and speak to the vagrants' impact on the Oceana Lagoon area. I'll just be brief on this because I believe most of the people have seen the letter that I put together. In 1992 to, say, 1996, 1997, you could walk along that path there, and it was pristine. There was no plastic bottles or trash or anything in there. In fact, people picked it up when they saw it there. It was so obvious that it didn't belong there. Today, it's a mess back there. It's a cesspool with these recent rains. Not only is there human excrement and urination in the area, there's food that's rotting back there. In fact, I was back there today with John Clemens from the Sanitation District, and he was scouting out an area to put some signs there that notify people who are going in there that it's private property, and I think that's a good idea. And that was one of my recommendations in the letter. What I said back on January 4th when I wrote the letter, I said, more vagrants are moving in. That's not true now because of the rains, but that doesn't mean they're going to continue to move in. There's a lot of curb traffic there at night. Cars drive up, don't know what they're doing, they turn their lights off, they go back in there for 5, 10, 15 minutes, come back out, and they leave. Sometimes they come back out with people and leave, and then they drop them off the next morning. Of course, the trash and debris fields in the area are expanding, and I observed that some of these vagrants, and I distinguish between vagrants, transients, and homeless folks, because we've had homeless folks back there in the past who, you know, the community would work with these people. They had trash, they could put it in the trash barrels. If they needed water, they could get water out of the tap. You know, the various homes there. But the vagrants seem to be becoming more hostile and aggressive as their size and area of influence grows. And I believe many of them believe they're totally immune from local ordinances and laws. And I'd like to make a point that the area that I'm talking about is somewhat different than the area by the Grover Beach train station and the area by the Pismo Ecological Reserve, in that this is an area used by the public to get to the beach, to observe natural resources. There's bird watchers that go through there frequently. It's really a nice area, and it provides an alternative to other things you can do in this area. In fact, I saw a father and a son coming out of there today. I wouldn't recommend people going back there now just because it's, I believe it's a health hazard. And again, I'm highlighting, you know, what I wrote in that letter to you now. I think, you know, there's illegal activity there, drugs and prostitution likely. There's stuff that's being brought into the area that I don't know. I mean, there's bike frames back there. There's containers that you would use for picnics and stuff. There's chairs. There's sleeping bags. There's plastic. I mean, it's pretty ugly. Okay, so I had three recommendations. Force the vagrants to evacuate and leave, and then we can clean up their trash and junk, and I'll be happy to help out. All you got to do is get a dumpster over there, and I talked with John about that as well. I suggested a temporary fence that would restrict the access to these areas on both sides of that path. And then one of the things that somebody's taken action on now is, I said, post a sign that lets people know and gives them an upfront notice that that area is not for overnight camping and it's not for vagrants and other people like that to use. And that's all I have. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Carter.
Hi, I'm Joe Shacker. I live on Security Court in Oceano. I'm a couple houses down from John's house. First of all, Happy New Year to everybody. I think this will be a great year. I really do. And one of the reasons I feel is because one of the problems we've had is being on the radar now, and that's the homeless vagrants or whatever you want to call them. The sheriff is aware of it. State Parks is aware of it. You're aware of it. Grover's aware of it. People are aware of it, so that's a good thing, and hopefully this year there'll be some solutions. I know there's no easy solution for how to treat some of these people, but there's a problem. My wife and I take care of our granddaughter. They live 2 to 3 blocks away on McCarthy. Every morning at 7:30, we walk to get her. We're being forced now to drive 2 blocks to get her in our car, because when we walk to the house, we get her in a buggy to pick her up, and we walk back. It's a beautiful walk. It's a prime time for these vagrants, however you want to call them, coming out. They wake up, they're in a stupor, they're like zombies. People are starting to get scared of them. So do we want to be proactive or reactive to this situation? It was more reactive in the Grover problem. People got stabbed last week, or one person got stabbed. They're still in the hospital. That's being reactive now to the situation. We're going to have something happen here. The other thing I want to bring up is the sheriff reports here during your meetings, and they're aware of the situation. It'd be nice to have more transparency on what they're doing each time they come up here, what kind of progress is being made on what they're doing to the situation. They're fully aware. I wrote a letter a while back. They're fully aware of the situation. They say they're aware of it, but a lot of the last comments I heard were their hands were tied. They let all these people out of jail early. So there's people that have been left out of jail early living there. It's obvious. So they're committing. They can't bust them for heroin anymore because of a small amount. They get out. It's a misdemeanor. They write them a ticket. That's what we're getting back from the sheriff, that their hands are tied. So I'd like to hear a little more comments from them about what they're doing each month about the situation. And as John indicated, this is a pristine area there. When you walk into those woods, it's like you're in another world. That's gone now. Oh, my goodness. So I wouldn't want to have anybody take out that bridge or put on up a gate and say, well, one solution is to not let people use the path, which is the way government handles things sometime. It's a beautiful area. It's our access to the beach. Thank you.
Thank you, Mrs. Schechner. Is there other public comment right now? No. Matt, you sit on the sanitation board.
Right.
You know, I've seen pictures where an area was cleaned up, and then there was signs put up that said no trespassing, and, you know, but still, you know, now it's total chaos. I saw the board had given staff directive to put a fence up. Mm-hmm. And do you know what happened to that fence? Do we know if the fence was ever constructed? purchased?
I don't. I can't report on that. Mr. Clemens is here, and maybe he can make public comment about what happened. And I appreciate that Mr. Clemens went out there with some citizens of the community and is looking at it. It's been a discussion, that's for sure.
I'll be more than happy to report. Actually, the area we did clean up, there are no vagrants there. The area that Mr. Carter is speaking about is not a district area. So, but as I was telling Mr. Carter while we were out there today, the district is more than happy to participate in the community and help out. I walked the area with Mr. Carter and showed him where the district boundaries were. And where most of the trash isn't on district, it's right next to district boundaries. But we are still going to go out. I've already bought signs. I brought my guys out today. I showed them where I wanted the picture sign. We did put a gate up in the front of the district area where in the past the vagrants would come in and they would enter onto the property right next to the front gate.
Yeah, and you walk along the yeah. fence. And
so we have gated that off with a wrought iron gate, but the area that Mr. Carter's speaking about right now is not the same area. It's along the pathway. There's been confusion because the district actually fixed that bridge last time or put it in place. And it's on the county property. But again, the district at that point felt a need to get involved in community and help where they didn't need to. And so that's where we are. We did put up a gate where we could. And the area that the gentlemen are talking about now would be a combination job between perhaps the district, state parks, and the county. I think that we were talking about that today, that I was going to try to contact the county and try to get a collective effort of to remove some of that stuff as we did on our property. When the district removed the debris on the property, there were 2 40-yard dumpsters removed. We had to go in there with a bobcat. Hmm. So we put a lot of work into removing debris already. We're willing to help where we can, and that's...
So okay. Let me ask you. So when it was a discussion of where the property line was for the sanitation department and for the county. That path, and I walk that path pretty frequently, not lately. That path was not included as sanitation property.
No, we've.
So that was on the county side.
Yes, I can see the maps that I've put up tomorrow in the email if you like, but no, it's not on county property. I mean, it's not on district property.
Okay, just to be clear. And then also, too, is that I am extremely concerned about public safety. It's bothersome that the kids can't even walk, you know, a block or 2 blocks. But also, too, is that every time I've gone back there, I've seen massive amounts of propane tanks, gas tanks, you know, things that if they ignite or they explode, you know, it's a sensitive area. Not just because of the environment, but also we have a sanitation plant there. So if you have any recommendations that the community can do or any strategies on how to tackle this together, you know, I know a lot of people would be willing, and I know it's out of the scope of work of the district, but it's not out of the scope of work for the people who live in Oceano.
From what I've seen, I think that as we post signs, that's a beginning, because what happens is, as the sheriff, and they explain to us that their hands are tied once they start getting in there and almost homesteading. But once you post that this area is out of bounds, that gives the deputies or the sheriff's department a lot more grounds to go in there and act immediately, because you have a posted sign and they've entered on beyond a sign being posted saying that you're not allowed here. When you leave them like they are right now, where it's not posted, it makes it a lot more difficult on law enforcement to go in and okay. do their thing. So we can begin by posting our signs and making a clear indication that this is private property or this is government property and that no one is to be here. And then if it's posted right there and they have a tent right there, then the deputies do have a right to pull them and say, hey, the sign says you can't be here.
Okay.
Whereas if you don't, then it becomes more difficult. The other side of it is if we, and it would be a large-scale project, if we could gate both sides and just leave the pathway available where nobody, where the only way you'd be able to homestead would be right in the middle of the path, which is not the case, and I doubt would happen. So it would be fairly expensive. I know for the district, I think we did get an estimate for, I think the district actually has about 2.5 acres roughly on that side of the existing gate. Mm-hmm. And I think it was somewhere $27,000. It was a lot of money, and that would be if they just had to put a gate. Where our boundaries are, we'd actually have to go in and cut down a bunch of trees, and that would involve permits and all that. So it could be expensive, but it may be worth it. You know, it deserves further examination, I believe. But I don't think I've even told our board yet what I got back from the estimate. It was $27,000, and again, that's not counting what it would take to get the trees cut in the area where our boundaries.
Right.
And for information's sake, when you go down Aloha, there's two power lines I was showing Mr. Carter today that are lined up adjacent to district property on just on the inside of the county gully there. That is a straight line to the.
So those are the monumental markers.
Yeah, and if you go a straight line there down Aloha, then all the way to the levee, then that's district property, basically.
Okay.
But as I said, I'll send you the drawings or the maps tomorrow, if you like.
Okay. Well, I appreciate that. And I think that together we all got to do something about it. You know, it's a hazard.
It's so, fine. Yeah, it's difficult.
But it's not solely your responsibility, so I think that collaboratively we'll have
to
figure
out something. You have county, you have state parks. You have us, and I think that, again, it's worth all of us coming together dealing with it, because it mm-hmm. is, you know, as Mr. Carter shared and the other gentlemen, that it is an area that you would hope that folks could walk through with their families. It's a great area to be able to travel, and as we went through there today, I wouldn't allow anybody in my family to go through there. And there wasn't even anybody there. It was just like a foot of water with all this debris and plastic bags and all that in there. So we can get that cleaned out and try to figure out with other agencies how to discourage or prevent settling in there.
Okay.
Would be a good idea.
All right. Thank you very much.
Thank you, John, for your action.
Appreciate that.
On this.
Madam President?
Yes.
Just as a little bit of a follow-up. So I have reached out to the county because OCSD does have the garbage authority.
Mm-hmm.
As Mr. Clemens pointed out, State Park, Sanitation District, County are the property owners. So the first really responsibility really falls on the property owners to take care of their property and to make sure people move off. But we have responded to some of their questions on some of the debris and the garbage that have been left in the public right-of-way, and we have gone out and helped and assisted in the cleanup of some of those. And then also, to what degree can efforts be identified in order to minimize, you know, future garbage? So, again, I have reached out to the county. We have responded. We have participated in some of the cleanup efforts, and certainly as the agencies are discussing possible roles in the future, if there's a significant program that comes up, I'll bring it back to your board for your consideration.
Mr. Ogren, would it be, I see that, you know, under staff reports, we always have the South County Sheriff's Department, Commander Donovan on the agenda, but because they're very busy, we don't really get a lot of reports from the Sheriff's Department. Is it possible that maybe you could contact them and say
certainly
that the board wants to discuss this issue and not the other issues at this point, but if we could just focus in on handling this portion of Oceano and probably maybe the last meeting in February might be a good one.
I'll reach out to the sheriff's office.
Yeah. So does everybody else agree on that? That
yes.
The sheriff's, that we want him to come in and we want to talk about this.
And I had one other thing I wanted to bring up when the time is right, President Lizzie. It's just about the EIR. The report is out. I think the board had talked about considering this. I think we should put it back on our agenda for the next meeting because the county meeting is February 4th. Is that when it is? Yes. 4th and 5th. The county meeting on this is February 4th and 5th. So
I would, if your board wants to consider it, then I would recommend a special meeting.
Okay.
Okay.
And I think maybe we covered that under future agenda items.
Okay.
Yeah.
I do think this is important.
Bring
to our
it
community.
Up under future agenda Great. Items, please, Matt. Okay. So, back to the agenda. So you're going to work with the Sheriff's Department
Correct.
To come in and talk strictly about this geographic area of not every all the rest of the problems of Oceano. Thanks. Okay. So as I was saying before, is that I was not able to attend the last meeting, and it was board election for president and vice president. And I want to thank the board for your vote of confidence. I really do appreciate it. I have two goals this year. One is I so dearly want to mentor another board member. I believe in mentorship. I always have. And if there's anybody in Oceano who would be interested in sitting on this board or playing a leadership role, I really ask you to reach out to me, because I'll do everything possible to show you everything that I know. So I wanted to put that out there, and I wanted to really thank the board for your vote of confidence while I was out of town. So on that note...
Onward and upward.
So onward and forward. Okay. Mr. Maritino. I always think of cherries when I think of that.
Good evening, Board. Tony Maritino. Just like the cherries.
That's right.
So we'll go over a few things over the past few weeks. We had 19 work orders, 10 USAs, 19 customer service calls, 3 call-outs. The call-outs were for a service line on Napomo Street that had broke. Luckily for us, it was on the customer side. But we did assist, shut it off, let them get the repairs done. Another call-out was for a sewer lateral that backed up. And since the CSD is responsible for laterals, it was an SSO incident for December. We did clear the blockage and get it flowing again. The third call-out was for Napomo and Highway 1, which there was water coming out of the street late at night. We got a call-out. It was about 9:30 at night. And about 15 feet of Paso, water just had lifted the street up. So initially I thought it was a main break. And due to the time frame of the incident, I actually called out and got some assistance from Arroyo Grande, which drastically cut our time down. We got out of there at 3 in the morning, but it was a service line. It's that blue pipe, the polybutylene, that broke apart and tore apart the street pretty good. So it was a...
Yeah, on Paso?
On Paso. Paso and Highway 1's across street.
And it's not where they're doing the construction on Paso, or they're...
Be right here, right?
They're building. They're building.
No, it's right in front of the gas station.
Oh.
Where the incident happened.
Oh, I pulled over.
Yeah, we had it all repaired. It's already paved, replaced, everything.
Yeah.
All right. And the lift station did the monthly cleaning of the lift station with all the grease. First of the month, the equipment runs. We installed a meter on Strandway, which is the new development at 1111 Strandway. We installed a new service on Beach Street for an existing development, but he wanted to submeter the 2 units. Continue with trash postings. Backfill, got it paved on Paso. Sewer cleaning is complete for 2015 per our SSMP. We installed the hydrant over there on 17th and Beach that got hit previously, so there's a brand new hydrant over there. Sewer lateral cleaning for the month. We had lock-offs, door hangers, comic codes for high-low consumptions. Continued replacing meters and raising meter boxes. As for Lopez Lake, it's currently at 28%, which is 13,967 acre feet. As you all probably remember, the governor declared a 25% reduction in April of 2015. So you got to compare your 2015 production with 2013. So 2013, we produced 884 acre feet. 2015, we produced 695 acre feet. So DWR, we do a report once a year to them starting in 2013, and it covers the time frame from June to December. To give you an idea, 2013, June through December, we produced 570 acre feet. June through December of 2015, we produced 407. That's a reduction of 163 acre feet, which comes out to just over 28.5%. If we compare the same time frame for 2014, we had a just over 23% reduction. So we are complying with the 25%, even though we don't have to, because we don't have over 3,000 connections. Mm-hmm. But we still are doing what we need to be doing. And they are doing it a little bit better, 28%, 28.5%. So.
Better than Pismo.
No comparing.
If I might follow up on Tony's comments on two points, I do think it is worthy to recognize the community for their water conservation efforts. In Oceano, because of a relatively better water supply situation, but it's all as knock on wood because everybody's in the drought, it's really been a voluntary effort. You know, the conservation rates provide an incentive to conserve, you know, because the pricing of water goes up. But unlike some of our neighboring communities that have had to impose quotas and fines, Oceano hasn't done that, and yet conservation has still exceeded the governor's target. So, it's a very good job for the community and the conservation efforts. The other thing I wanted to follow up with is Tony had indicated that there was a number of new connections, and your board adopted resolutions in 2015 on reimbursement agreements for new development, which basically provides the ability to recoup time and materials for off-site improvements like line extensions or the laterals. That combined with closer scrutiny of some of the previously issued will-serve letters, I'd say we had about $20,000 in revenues in 2015 that we would not have otherwise collected. So those changes for new development and the ability to fully recoup our cost associated with off-site improvements has been, you know, a good financial move. In the grand scheme of a, you know, multi-million dollar budget, that's not a big dollar, but it does move forward with the policy that new development really needs to pay for the cost of new development so that the other ratepayers don't do it. And Tony's been doing a good job of tracking his time and the materials associated with those development projects. So that's, again, a good work effort by Tony on that.
Does the board have any questions?
No, thank you, Tony.
No, thank you.
Tony, I have one question. I'll have to ask first, you know. During the rains, and hopefully it wasn't the last of them, did you see, as you drove around town, people trying to collect rainwater or any of that? Because I did notice that people had, you know, containers out, they had, you know, water tanks, you know, the 50 gallons and the 100 and 200 gallon tanks out, you know, trying to capture the rainwater. I did.
No, absolutely. There are individuals doing that.
Right.
And they do let us know. You do see it. Yes. It is happening.
So, yeah, I thought it was a little bit more prevalent than usual. You know, and the rain certainly did help.
Oh, absolutely.
I know. I have a green lawn. I only have, like,
per minute,
5x5 lawn, but, you know, it's green.
Healthy and green completely.
Great.
Yeah.
Thank you. Thank you so much. We really appreciate it. Okay. I see that the fire chief isn't here. Karen, did you want to give that report, or would you like to wait and do it under director's reports?
I'll just quickie here. The Five Cities Fire Authority Board of Directors is going to meet at 10 a.m. on this Friday at Grover City Hall, and we're going to start working on strategic planning. We're also going to start working on some amendments to the Memorandum of Understanding between the communities, and we're also going to look at buying a fire truck.
Great.
So that meeting starts at 10 a.m. Friday.
And that's at
Grover Hall. Grover City Hall.
Okay.
And we haven't had any major incidents.
And you're doing the 5-year strategic plan or the just 1 year?
Oh, it'd be a 5-year.
The 5-year?
Yeah.
Okay. Great. Thank you.
And we did not have any major incidents through the holiday period.
Good.
Except for we did, I should add that we were spent most of a full day in San Luis helping the San Luis Fire Department on the sub fire.
Mm-hmm.
It was a 3 million gallon fire. That's the kind of water it took to put it out. And they had just about every fire truck that was available from Napomo to Atascadero. They had Atascadero's big ladder truck. They had San Luis's big ladder truck. We just took a pumper. But they pumped from water from 11 a.m. to 6 p.m.
That was a tremendous effort by the firefighters there.
Yeah.
For people who are concerned or would like to see or become involved in the fire services in our area, I strongly encourage you to attend strategic planning meetings because you strategically understand where the organization is going. And so it's a good place to start getting involved. So that's 10 a.m. Grover Beach.
Also, just throw it in, we're just about complete in starting an advisory Five Cities Fire Authority, Friends of the Five Cities Fire Authority nonprofit.
Great.
It's just about completed, and anybody who wanted to join that group would be welcomed.
Great.
Sounds great.
Okay. Thanks, Karen. Do we have a Zone 3 update?
Madam President, yes, I have a few items that are upcoming on the Zone 3 meeting for next week, as well as a couple other items to report out at this time. Next week's Zone 3 Advisory Committee is on Thursday night, January 21st, 6:30 p.m. at Grover City Hall. And agenda items, although the agenda is not posted yet in coordinating with the county, there's going to be an update on the Habitat Conservation Plan for Rio Grande Creek, which creates downstream release requirements out of the dam. There's going to be an agenda item for consideration of using $30,000 out of Zone 3 reserves for some drainage and flood control work on Carpenter Creek. And there's also going to be discussion about a grant program for stormwater resource plans. And that particular item might be especially interesting to your board. So depending on how Zone 3 goes, and if that item is referred back to the different to the various governing agencies, then I'll make sure to put it on a future agenda.
Mr. Oaken, can I get clarification? Did you say that was Carpenter Creek, the 30K?
Yes.
Basically, Pismo Creek?
It's basically Carpenter Creek is right there at Highway 1 State Parks in Pismo.
Grover Creek, yeah.
Yeah, it's gone by a couple. So Pismo Creek goes straight out to the ocean, but there's another little tributary that drains through the state park, and there's some flap gates or other drainage impediments that they're looking at modifying.
And that would be on state parks land, correct?
My understanding is on state parks land, and the flood control district is coordinating with state parks to modify the existing facilities in order to improve drainage and flood control in that particular area, because ultimately they all interconnect.
So the 30K would be coming from Zone 3 as a loan
to the what it is it comes out of the 1% property tax allocations and reserves that were established prior to 2000. And it is money that is completely discretionary to the Board of Supervisors. It's none of the money. We pay the county in Zone 3 for water supply. And so it doesn't come out of any of the money we pay for water supply or any of the money that Grover or Pismo or anybody else pays for water supply. It's part of a 1% property tax allocation, and therefore, ultimately, the Board of Supervisors has discretion on how to use that money. So under the bylaws for Zone 3, the issue is that prior to the county being able to utilize it for purposes other than the water supply, it has to be placed on the Zone 3 agenda. And so that's what's happening next week. It actually had been placed on the Board of Supervisors agenda for this past Tuesday.
Yes.
I noticed it while reviewing the agenda on Monday. I corresponded with the county about, you know, my concern that it was the process was inconsistent with the bylaws. And as a result, the county agreed and they pulled it off the agenda. And so they've scheduled it with Zone 3 for next week. But again, it's a policy issue as to whether or not Zone 3 should, you know, some of those reserves should be expended for drainage or flood control purposes. And the bylaws clearly state that that needs to go on Zone 3's advisory committee agenda. But it's not from revenues that were generated from Oceano or Pismo or Grover, you know, or a grant.
It's from tax dollars.
Correct.
So, and it's for a creek that's in state parks land that you have to pay a fee to get to. So the people in this area is getting hit twice. Not only are we paying a fee to get on our state property, and we all have our annual passes, it's also included in our taxes. So is Zone 3 going to discuss the double hit for local people? I don't understand. I guess I need a justification as to why Zone 3 or the Board of Supervisors is lending State Parks and Recs $30,000 when they have like a $3 million mansion going up down the street.
So, President Lucy, I'm not aware of any loan associated with this.
The $30,000.
Right. The Flood Control District... And the Flood Control District overall encompasses all seven cities and all the unincorporated areas. So it's the Flood Control District and the Board of Supervisors has the authority to use flood control money basically on any land within the county's boundaries. It was not clear for me from reading the staff report how the discussions were developed between the county and state parks. The staff report on the board's agenda was simply the recommendation to use $30,000 out of Zone 3 reserves. So I have to wait for the advisory committee meeting to understand, you know, and ask the questions regarding those details as well.
Okay.
And I can certainly report back to your board.
Yeah, I'd appreciate that because I probably know how it got to that point, but I just don't think it's right. As much as I know, and I don't know a lot about it, I don't think it's right. So, but you will report back on that for us, right?
Yes.
Thank you very much, sir. And I did see that on the agenda yesterday, although it was under consent items.
That's correct. And I do want to emphasize that once I brought the details of the bylaws to the county's attention, they've had some staff turnover in terms of the secretary roles at Zone 3. But once I brought it to their attention, they were quick to respond, agree, and pull the item from the agenda.
Okay, great. Thank you very much for catching that. Karen, you attend Zone 3 technical.
Well, I was just saying that you're looking at this thing one way. I could look at it another in that if we improve those flap gates at the Butterfly Grove, that's water that'll go out through Carpenter Creek to the ocean rather than down into the Oceano Lagoon.
Madam President?
Isn't that correct?
I have a little bit of discomfort with too much discussion on this item.
Yes, okay.
Yes, I agree.
We'll shut up right now. Thank you.
Okay, so you're going to report back on this.
Correct.
Thank you very much.
Okay. Okay. To a couple other on for the recruitment of the business and accounting manager position, we will begin advertising this week, early next week. Even though your board approved the job descriptions last month during the holiday season, it wasn't realistic to be able to respond to candidates. So we have to make sure that as we advertise and as people apply, we have the time to do so. So that is going to be starting right away now. last announcement I want to make is a very good announcement, and that is I had previously reported that the IRWM Integrated Regional Water Management Grant application that we had submitted with Templeton Community Services District and San Simeon Community Services District, which was in total for almost $5 million. That's the amount that was available for all the Central Coast counties combined, and that includes Santa Barbara County, San Luis Obispo, San Benito, Monterey, Santa Cruz counties, that there was about $5 million available for all of the counties. The staff's preliminary recommendation last fall from the Department of Water Resources was that our county get 75% of that allocation and Santa Cruz County get 25% of that allocation. And the final awards came out today, right around noon, and they stayed. So we are collectively with Templeton and San Simeon getting about $3.7 million. Our component of the grant application was $268,000 for a number of things, leak detection program, injection wells in collaboration with the PISMO or the Sand District's recycling projects, low-impact development in the community in order to promote groundwater recharge, and then the biggest component is to have engineers come in and update our master water plan from 2009 and provide cost estimates so that we can develop a CIP program for the leaky pipes. With 75% funding, and after you take into account the cost of the application, the net revenues to the district for those efforts will be roughly $200,000. So that's a significant benefit in order to move forward with the capital improvement program, and the timing can't be better. So certainly the other agencies, the County of San Luis Obispo, San Simeon, and Templeton, were all very important in getting that grant application together. And the fact that 75% of the money out of those six counties got allocated, you know, to our communities was a very big, big win. And so I made sure to send an email to Supervisor Compton and make sure she understood my appreciation for the work within her organization.
And our appreciation to you for your tireless efforts and staying on it and going after the prize. Thank you very, very much. We greatly appreciate it.
May I ask a question? Was it, so are we getting 75% of our amount, or does that still need to be discussed between the agencies?
It still needs to be discussed between the agencies, yeah.
Thank you.
Kudos, that's great. Okay, so we're going to move into public presentations, but before we move into that is, I want to ask the general manager.
Board, directors, and outside committee reports. 6B.
Right. Sorry. It's been a long time. Okay, Director Angelo. How was your holidays?
Hectic.
Hectic?
Yeah, very.
Grandkids run you into the ground?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah. Okay. And Ms. Blackburn.
I didn't attend any meetings, but I just want to comment on the fact that the Oceano Advisory Council is working to facilitate a forum regarding the Phillips 66 rail project. And we do appreciate all of the community member enthusiasm for participation, but at this point, we don't have the details confirmed yet as we're waiting for confirmation from the participants of the forum still. We are hoping to have it before the public hearings on February 4th and 5th. And when we do have the details nailed down, we will post it to the Oceano Advisory Council website, which is just oceanoadvisorycouncil.org. And hopefully if we have flyers, we would be able to put some in the district office as well, and we'll put some up around town as well. So just keep your eye out.
And so will the OAC be putting that back on their agenda after holding the debate? Or
It's not been mentioned yet.
Okay, I'm just looking for next steps.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
So can you give us a web page as to where people can get the EIR report?
Yes. Actually, I will, when I get home tonight, put it on the Oceano Advisory Council website.
Great. Thank you.
Thank you for that.
Fascinating reading. Fascinating. You know.
I think the draft EIR is up there, but I will put the final one.
You know, nothing will put you to sleep faster than a an EIR report. You know. Okay. Karen.
I attended the January 7th Zone 3 tech meeting. You already got the report about Lopez Dam being at 28%. And at that point, that was on January 7th, there hasn't been much inflow yet into the dam, which I was a little surprised because there's been quite a bit of rain up in the hills. But the ground has got to get pretty well saturated before it starts running off. Take you some thunder from... Should I report on the downstream or do you want to wait? We got the first look at the downstream release program for the habitat project they've been doing for the last 1,000 years. And it was a major topic of discussion at the meeting. The issue is, it's real simple. It's how water is going to be divided between municipal and industrial, ag, and fishes and frogs. Those are the three basic owners of the water in the Rio Grande Creek. I'm making this a little simple, but they're working on a balancing act to protect the water supply for homes, for ag, and for habitat. And the plan, this whole plan has to be done to allow re-permitting of Lopez Dam. And so there's this whole huge process of you study who owns the water, where the water is going, how the water is allotted, and this whole process. And it's really quite complicated. And they got into the water availability, and there was a realization that there was some inconsistencies. And that one of the things they're doing is they're taking historical records from 1969 to the present, but they're using them to model how the creek would operate under today's conditions. So they aren't really looking at historically, but they're looking at taking all the information to say, now this is what the creek would be doing today if there wasn't a dam. And so, so there's continues to be these questions, and the Ecord company that presented this plans were sort of ready to move it forward, and through the tech committee they ran into quite a few obstacles of questions that had not completely been answered yet, and so they're going to have to go down and start doing field studies before they can get a completely satisfactory answer on how much water is going to go to fish and frogs and how much water is going to be available for the other two uses. And they thought it was going to balance out, but it looks like there's a possibility of the fishes and frogs may actually be needing more water to show how to... Well, for instance, they would have times where, especially if the dam was fairly full, they would dump tons and tons and tons of water. I mean, they know how much, but tons and tons, like it was a flooding situation to alert the steelhead of how they should act in coming up the creek. And then at other times, they would let the water go low. And so this whole fancy, fancy dance to protect the habitat of the creek, which is a steelhead creek. And so the point now is they're going to be doing field studies. The other thing is there's Doug Bird from the County Public Works is continuing to work on the water rights questions. Because there's apparently still a lot of people along the creek who own riparian rights. They own to the middle of the creek, and they have not in any way registered their ownership of the creek or the water, their rights, the ownership of their rights to use the water. And so they're still trying to find the dance of how many upstream people own the water. So the studying continues. And E-Court thought they would be able to move it forward to the agency, and they're not going to be able to.
That's a really good report out, Vice President White. My only comments of follow-up are that the work that S-Corp has done has been primarily for the purpose of identifying, you know, what the environmental needs are. And certainly it's a requirement, it's an unavoidable effort in order to get the water rights permit up at Lopez renewed. So now what it is it's essentially the evaluating, well, how's that going to impact municipal supplies or impact agriculture?
Yeah.
More releases down the creek are going to improve recharge into the groundwater basin, and so it's something that's probably going to be neutral to favorable for agriculture. The biggest concern for the Zone 3 agencies is the surplus water declarations. So historically, since the dam was operated, we have our basic water allocations. For Oceano, it's 303 acre-feet per year. But in most years, we get an allocation of surplus water, which is water that wasn't released downstream. So now that more water is going to be released downstream, the surplus water allocations to the municipalities may likely be reduced. In about 1997, when this all started and I was working with the county, my testimony to the Zone 3 Advisory Committee was, we have to recognize that we may lose a portion of our surplus water allocation. So what we're seeing today, after all the numbers have been crunched and a whole lot of analysis is done, is it right back to where we anticipated it would be many, many years ago. The question becomes, how much surplus water might be lost? The story then kind of then will move further, because if groundwater is recharged to a greater degree because of the releases, then should the municipalities get the right to pump some additional water? If ag is left neutral, then that additional groundwater recharge would arguably go back to the benefit of the municipalities. Now, an acre foot released from the dam isn't going to translate into an additional acre foot in the groundwater basin, but that's also why we want to develop the groundwater model in conjunction with the county and NMMA. The steps that are being taken, there's a lot of details and a lot of concerns about the impacts on deliveries and water availability, but the questions that are now being addressed are the ones that we've been anticipating and finally getting to that point in time.
Yeah, it actually is moving forward rapidly, actually.
Yeah, it sounds like it is moving forward.
It's way interesting.
Well, thank you, Karen. It is very interesting. And then next Zone 3 is on the 14th, correct, Mr. Ogren?
No, the 21st, week from Thursday on the 21st.
Okay.
And it's only going to be a basic update. What I did at the last Zone 3 Advisory Committee is I put a lot of questions forward that I wanted to make sure that the technical team addressed before this came back to the Advisory Committee for a full review. And one of those questions was the surplus water. So I'm certainly pleased with the details that are being addressed, even though some answers still need to be developed to some of those questions. So
and
I'm anticipating that the
30,000. At the zone.
Yes. So, the HCP is going to just be a brief update.
Uh-huh.
The more detailed review is going to either be in March or even May.
Okay, great.
June.
Thank you. Okay. Matt, Mr. Guerrero, how is your New Year going so far?
New Year's going well. Thank you. I attended the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District last Wednesday, January 6th. A couple of interesting items. There was a contract with Michael Nunley and Associates approved for general engineering services. It basically kind of identified $100,000 in the budget that'll get used as needed for the general engineering services. There's my recollection, which may be imperfect, is that there is not a specific project in mind, but as a needed, on an as-needed basis, kind of like we have an engineer for this district. That passed on a 2-1 vote. My concern, I voted no, was not that the cost or the qualifications of Mr. Nunley, who has a good reputation, but my concern was that there was not alternatives provided to the board, and the sole sourcing idea was of concern.
So it wasn't put out to advertise, it was just given?
It was just brought in. And Michael Nunley and Associates have done other work or are performing other work for the district. And so I think that's how it happened. It was easy and convenient. But with the Knutson report, which hopefully will be out very, very soon. We'll see on Friday if it's on the agenda or not. I think that the board's past may be subject to some criticisms for sole sourcing. And mm-hmm. So as we see this and as we see the plant numbers, which also came in high again, the plant discharge numbers were at the limits.
And how many months in a row has that been?
It's been going on for a while, and I have some concerns about if the plant is stressed or what's happening. I'm not exactly sure. There was a super high test that had to be reported. I believe that was in December for the discharge, and so that was the second within 180 days. So if we get to the third, then we're going to get an NOV. So you know, it's not a criticism of the plant operations. It's just a concern that happened. We then also had a contract on the agenda with John Rickenbach for the redundancy project permitting. I think, as you previously reported, the board is moving forward with a redundancy project. I'll share some of the concerns that I shared with them. What he is working on is the permitting, environmental review, and regulatory coordination services for redundancy projects, not to exceed 32,000. So that's, I was able to get behind that because there was a time sensitive. I was also, are still concerned about the sole sourcing of it, but because of the time sensitive nature of it and the fact that the board had previously made some moves that were going forward, this seemed consistent. We also received a redundancy project permitting update from Mike Nunley and John Rickenbach, and that went on for quite a while. I think the presentation, if it's not on the South San Luis Obispo County Sanitation District's website, it should be. My concern, I brought in a number of questions that are supposed to be on the next agenda regarding the redundancy project. And I think what the board needs to do there is really embrace its critical policy function and look at the lifespan of the plant, look at whether or not the reclamation project might cover any of the redundancy, whether or not there's a regional option, whether or not the plant is going to be forced to move, whether or not the Coastal Commission is going to renew the permit. And there's a lot of considerations that I think need to be in front of the board so a smart decision can be made, because I hate to go and spend tens of millions of dollars and find out in 5 years or 15 years or whatever it is that while we're still paying the note it was all for naught, or it was only for a temporary fix. So I think the punchline is we have to figure out what the best answer is, what the right answer is, and go with the right answer. And it may be exactly what we're doing, but my concern is that we don't have enough information. So anyway, so that'll be brought up next week. There are a lot of questions that I'd like to ask and to know. Finally, the The application period for recruitment of a district administrator closed last Friday. I haven't seen any applications yet, but I'm sure that's going to continue to move forward. I understand as of last Wednesday there were 10, so we'll see what happens.
Will the board members be looking at those, or staff?
We haven't set a policy yet on exactly how that's going to happen. So.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay. Jennifer, do you have any questions? Karen? Okay, Matt, I have a few questions.
Hopefully I have an answer.
Well, you can ask them of somebody.
Okay.
So, first of all, the question would be the policies and procedures manual.
Okay.
There hasn't been any movement. There's, I think the district is at high risk for certain practices and behaviors. And and to be able to prevent those is just sound policy. And so if there could be some follow-up with your Alicia Laura consulting firm, that would be helpful. Secondly is the sole sourcing. It makes me very, very, very uncomfortable. And to sole source three contracts in one meeting.
The third one got pulled.
Okay, well, to sole source two contracts in one meeting with an interim GM, I think is a questionable practice. There's one other thing, too, I can't remember. Those are just the two main things right now.
And as far as the parts...
Go ahead. On the Knutson report, I went back through some will serves, and I couldn't quite decipher if he had been paid in full or the contract was for $79,000. It was $59,000 and then an additional $20,000 for more interviews. And so it came out to be like $79,000. Go ahead, correct me, Julie. $77,500. Okay, thank you. So it's $77,500, not $79,000. You know,
I think the answer is yes. I think he has been paid in full.
Who gets paid in full before the work is done? Maybe I haven't been working long enough in my life. 50 years, I thought. I've never gotten paid before the work is done. So my question would be, how did somebody get paid in full before there's any product, work product, none?
There's a draft.
There used to be a time when you had to match, you know. If somebody was going to give you $60,000, you had to put $60,000 in the bank until you did the work, you know. So, and I know Mr. Ogren probably has some opinions on this too, but you know,
I understand.
It's not best practices, if any stretch of the imagination.
I understand the questions. I don't have answers for you.
And I don't expect you to, but I don't even know where to direct them. Because you have three seasoned board members, and to allow that to happen is just beyond me. Two are mayors, you know. So
this happened before when I sat on the board a long time ago. There was decisions made, money spent without any approval from other people coming
in.
I sat on that board and talked about, you know, well, do we have anybody else to look this?
Right.
Oh, no, we know these people. They're going to do it.
They're going to do a good job.
And you're
shut
down. And what worries me is we're going to get into the same problems that we had then with legalities and where'd the money go and what wasn't fixed and what was fixed and the differences that came about with that. So, you know, I just hope they're a little more careful.
My hope is that with the Knutson report, that will shine some light on this. And again, I haven't seen it. This is what I expect in part for it to show.
Have you seen it?
No. I saw a draft. I didn't get to read it.
Who's got it?
The attorneys have it.
Oh.
The attorneys have it. And I think Mr. Clemens probably has it too, but I'm not sure. Yeah. I think so.
Okay.
And so anyway, I think that'll be addressed. And that was something that was brought up.
I know
at the meeting last
week. A lot of the frustration that's gone on over there at the sanitation district for several years, and that's, you know, it shouldn't be that way. It should be very
for decades, not
simple.
Several years, for decades.
Yes.
Okay. So, thank you for bringing up those historical points. Is there anything staff would like to contribute to this discussion? Okay, hearing that, I'm going to move into public comment. We held public comment till the end of these of 6A and 6B so people could hear directors and then be able to comment on it. So is there anybody who would like to do public comment?
Oh.
What are you going to talk about, Giselle? I want to censor you. What are you going to talk about now?
This is public comment.
Just kidding.
Special presentations and reports.
Definitely on the surface level.
Okay.
I mean, the
just
the whole
weave
thing.
It through as best as you can. Tie it in.
When Director White gave her talk about Lopez Dam, it sparked a couple of questions that I had. And if I understood you right, please correct me if I'm wrong. You were talking about... correct me if I'm wrong, that the issue that you had raised, that you were talking about, related to how much water to save in Lopez Dam and how much to release downstream, and that there were these, you know, categories of users, which included ag, industrial, fish and frog, and residential. The question for me is not just how you divide the quantities of water between these groups, but how you hold some of those groups responsible for the water that they end up putting into, for example, Arroyo Grande Creek, the downstream. And there's been a lot of talk about how to improve the purity and the quality of the water by controlling ag use. You know, I wouldn't lump ag and residential together. I would lump industrial and ag together in terms of the quality and the issues of chemicals. You can't avoid water runoff from ag land that has chemicals in it unless you really have some kind of policy and concerted decision to somehow contain or reclaim that water. When you're talking about gas and oil in Pismo Beach and development in Black Lake.
No, that's already all regulated.
I've understood that there is no regulation of ag water runoff into the creek, but something may have changed, so I'm going to sit down.
And I can't answer. I'm sorry, I'm not supposed to answer your questions, but later, if you stay long enough, I can explain.
Yeah.
There's controls.
Thank you.
Thank you, Giselle. Ms. Tacker.
Sorry, I'm not supposed to answer.
Good evening again. I am Julie Tacker. And Ms. Angelo, your comments about your history on the sanitation district is exactly why there is a Knutson report being written.
Good.
And the question about being paid in full and the report not complete is because I understood out of that closed session that the board directed further work on the project and that there probably will be additional costs to the sanitation district for it. As to the soil sourcing, I too had great heartburn over the soil sourcing, but I was it was explained that these items were within the purchasing guidelines of the sanitation district, and that the Nunley contract is, as Matt explained, as needed for the projects that come forward. But the GM could have gone out and gotten the work done without the board. He brought this to the board, and that was what was his due diligence. Ms. Lucy, you didn't speak to your presentation at the Board of Supervisors yesterday, and I have some concern over what you said. First, you said that you were speaking as a ratepayer and that you were on the Oceano Community Services District, but then you said that you were on the Sanitation District Board.
I'm sorry, excuse me, Ms. Tacker. Ms. Lucy, this is for comments on presentations. If you'd like to give a presentation on what you said at the board, then it would be appropriate to have public comment on it, but Ms. Tacker's speaking to things that you never spoke about or reported on today.
Yeah, I'll be happy to go back and do a report on the Board of Supervisors. I did it.
So may I continue?
So if you want to sit down and wait for me to report on
and
what
then you're going to let me come back up and talk about it? That doesn't make any sense. Why don't you just let me finish?
Just do whatever you want to do.
You gave the impression. First of all, you
the
said...
The impression.
No. First you said you do sit on the Sanitation District Board and had for years. Then you gave the impression that the sanitation district is dumping sludge on the ground in the sludge drying beds. The sludge drying beds, here's where I need to correct you, the sludge drying beds are made of concrete, and there is no sludge going on the ground.
And not anymore.
Back way before there were ever sludge drying beds, at every sewage treatment plant around the world, sludge went on the ground. But for decades, there's been concrete sludge drying beds. So no, at no time were you on a sanitation district board that had sludge on the ground. Just want to clear that up, because I think you gave a misimpression, a false impression, to the Board of Supervisors yesterday. The Five Cities Fire Authority report on Friday, the chief is getting a 3% raise. And while that may be totally prudent, my concern over that is that during the budget process, the Five Cities Fire Authority gave a raise to the reserves. Now they're giving a raise to the chief, and it leaves the people in the middle without a raise. And those people have been waiting for raises for a very long time. And I think you're going to have some headbutting, some problems with that.
Thank you, Ms. Chair.
You did interrupt me. I would like to continue. I have just a few more things. Mr. Maricino's report, saving the water, that's fantastic on the part of Oceano. But imagine how much you would save if your system was tight. Sadly, this district has spent a lot of money unnecessarily on a lot of other things, and the system didn't get tight overall. Last comment, real quick. Mr. Ogren talked about the Zone 3 and the Carpenter Creek. That staff report identifies it as Meadow Creek, and I had some concern about that. I thought, that's weird. That's not Meadow Creek. That is the Carpenter Creek intersection or junction there, and I'm glad it was pulled. I'm glad to see that you're going to have more opportunity to speak to it. And
thank you, Ms. Tacker.
You're welcome.
Okay, going out of order here. I did attend the Board of Supervisors meeting yesterday. I apologize. I just skip right over my reports and go right to the other directors' reports. What I found for me to be able to attend the Board of Supervisors, and this might be helpful to others, is if you show up at 10:10, it's an informative, great meeting to attend. I really always get a lot out of it, but you have to be there after 10 o'clock. Before, it just kind of sucks the life out of you. So I spoke on the issue of biosolids being used as fertilizers. And when I got involved in Oceano and moved to Oceano 16 years ago, the county had lent property to the sanitation district. And there was drying beds and there was a tractor. And the bi-solids went on there, and they were constantly rotated with the tractor. And then people realized that this probably wasn't a very good practice. And a truck was brought in, and the bio-solids were put into a truck, and then they were hauled out. And that's how they've been done for about 10 years now. So I spoke to the issue of informing the public of using bio-solids in your fertilizer. If you're going to use a biosolid in something that I eat, I ask as a consumer that I be informed of it. And that was basically the testimony, is the county has had policies and procedures in place for 18 months. The audience was reassured there were no applications in or pending. It just magically showed up on the agenda. There was some concern about having the language of composting in the policies and procedures, but I think staff was going to work that out. But I found it to be an extremely informative meeting. I had no idea that biosolids even went near our food products, and it's not so much of our toilets, our disposal systems, as it is the metals that are in those solids. So there was a lot of focus on the six deadly metals. So, but otherwise, I strongly encourage people to attend the meeting. If you look at it, schedule it a little differently, it might be a nicer meeting to attend. That's all. And on that note, I would entertain a motion to take a 5-minute break.
So move.
Okay. We'll readjourn at
8:01.
8:01. Thank you, Karen. Before I open it up for public comment, did I say that right? Good enough.
I can interpret you.
He's only been trying to.
I love Lucy.
Four months, Dan has been trying to get me to say this right. It's not bad, 4 months. We've got 2 more months to go. Okay, we're going to call this meeting back to order after a short but needed break. Okay, on to consent agenda items. I would entertain a motion.
Move to approve. Do we have public comment on this? Yep.
Yeah, let's do public comment on consent
agenda. It's on the agenda.
First.
Mr. Ogren, could you better explain the change that Celia pointed out? Because I don't know that I understood the explanation for the $700 difference in the payroll for you.
Okay.
Thank you.
All right. Is there any other public comment on this item? Okay. So I'll entertain a motion to accept the consent agenda items, except for I need to abstain on the 12-3 meeting. So, and then you need to include your amendments in the warrants, your amended warrants. So
let's break it up then. I'll move to approve item 7A, the meeting, the minutes from the meeting of December 9th, 2015.
Second.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Okay. One abstention. All right.
And then to note that President Lucy abstained on that vote. Is
yes.
that correct?
Okay.
And then I'll move to approve item 7B as amended.
Can you read? Can I? Okay. And it's seconded by Karen. And say, so can I ask you to just real quickly, can you just briefly say what the amendments were on the warrants?
So there's an addition for the SEIU for $184 with 42 cents.
Uh-huh.
A payment of $55 for Safety Clean.
Correct.
$4 for Rubble Bank. And then the correction for the general manager's payroll.
Okay, good.
And right. To clarify, President Lucy, so the disclosure of the payroll is not an action item.
No.
That's an informational item. And the misstatement in the reports that were included on the agenda is that it indicated that my gross salary was several hundred dollars less than what it actually was. And so the revised reports accurately portray what my gross salary was. The reason why that error got into that particular spreadsheet was that the October pay period ending October 31st, we had to correct an error from the prior pay period. And on that prior pay period, my pay was too high. So on the October 31st payroll period ending date, we needed to reduce the payroll in order to take into account that error. The error on the prior pay period resulted when we go and we process payroll as a salaried employee, it just picks up my basic salary. If I charge 4 hours of vacation time or 4 hours of sick time or 4 hours of holiday time, the payroll program will actually initially want to compensate me more for those other hours because they're the non-salaried hours. And we have to manually go back and reduce and make a manual adjustment then every payroll period where I have something like sick leave or vacation time. The payroll period then that ended on October 17th, that manual adjustment wasn't done, and so I was overpaid on that pay period. And so then we had to make the correction on the October 31st pay period and to reduce my pay for an equal amount in order to fix the error that had occurred. That subsequent one then on October 31st showed a lower gross pay by the appropriate amount, and then that error ended up following through on just the reports that were performed. So there was an error in actual payroll processing on 10/17 that was corrected on 10/31. Subsequent to 2031, it was simply the summary reports to your board that hadn't been updated properly. So there was an error in actual processing of payroll, or corrected. All the actual payroll since then has been corrected. It was just simply in the reporting to your board. And obviously with staff transition, we've been going through a lot of details and working to make sure we've got everything down. And that's right. One reason why we caught the error, fixed it, and then had a reporting problem.
And so just about that time, there was a change in office management, correct?
The change occurred actually a few months before, but you know, we're implementing new people doing new work. Ms. Tacker was the one who contacted me and pointed it out on the report. So the fact that we provided a corrected form at this meeting was her observation while reviewing the agenda, and I appreciate that observation and the fact that she brought it to my attention.
I appreciate that observation. I would assume that you were very, very clear then on what had happened.
No, I had, when she identified it, part of the communications is that I want to come and report to your board first as to these types of issues. So, anyways, that's the explanation.
I think it's great that we caught it early instead of later down the road and all that stuff. So, thank you very, very much.
There's a motion and a second.
So there's a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? It's 5-0. Celia? Okay. On item 8, Mr. Ogren, do you have anything else that you need to verbally include in items 8A through 8D that are not in the staff reports?
I have no presentations, and the comments I'm going to have are brief, and consequently, I'm not going to be adding during my verbal discussions anything substantive that's not already included in the written staff reports.
Okay. So then on that, so since we don't have really anything to add, I'll take public comment up front versus taking them individually. So public comment will be for 8A through D.
Julie Tacker again, and as far as 8A goes, if you're going to nominate a member of your board, I would give a nod to Jennifer Blackburn. 8B, the consideration and approval of an appointee to meet with Pismo Beach Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project. I am unclear if it's just a board member you're looking for, just one board member. I know Roy Grande last night appointed two board members or council members. Again, I'd like to see Ms. Blackburn, secondarily Mr. Guerrero, and if at all possible, Mr. Ogren should be part of that committee. The rehab of Well 5 needed to be done, or the project K capping off the well needed to be done anyway. I don't recall if you got any grant money for that or if that was all district funds. Maybe that question can be answered. And I would have liked to have heard a little more description on 8D. Mr. Ogren is wanting to go to a conference, and it doesn't look like it's going to cost you anything. I don't know why he needs your approval to do that if it's not going to cost you. So I guess I'll learn after the fact. Thanks.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to do public comment? Okay. Hearing none.
So, Madam President, on item 8A, included in the staff report is the information from David Church, and essentially there's going to be a modified procedure as compared to prior years. In prior years, the individual special districts would act at your board and then submit their votes to LAFCO, and the process that's now going to be followed is that the CSDA committee is going to be doing the voting at their annual meeting. And so the recommendations on President Lucy and Director Blackburn is because you're the two committee representatives to the CSD organization. If you choose to put forward a nomination for a LAFCO membership, then I move to what you acted on in terms of the committee appointments to LAFCO. And that is President Lucy and Vice President White. So that's how I basically developed those recommendations. But it's pretty clear that LAFCO wants to make sure that this is a specific action of your board on who's going to be voting at the CSDA meeting.
Okay. So how do you want us to move forward and make a nomination to somebody?
And so you do need to identify who is going to vote on your behalf at the CSDA meeting. It's completely discretionary whether any of you want to be nominated to be on LAFCO.
Right.
So two different items.
I'm satisfied with staff recommendation for designees.
Ms. Lucy, are you satisfied with that?
Yeah, I'm satisfied with that.
Then I'll move to approve staff recommendation.
Second.
Okay. Any more discussion? No? Okay. All in favor of sending us in?
Aye.
And so then the second question is, does anybody want to be nominated to try to get voted into LAFCO and be on the LAFCO board? I'm not sure how many OCSD reps have been on LAFCO board. I know Barbara Mann had been.
Barbara held a tight leash on that committee.
Yeah. So. And so that second question, it's actually discretionary as to any, if any of you want to put your name in the hat, and if not, that's okay too.
Well, I wouldn't mind being nominated and accepting that nomination. I do work closely with Barbara on a lot of things, and so I do think that she would share it, her info, her knowledge, but if there's another board member who would like to do it as well, I would be happy with that as well.
I would be interested if I wasn't so busy.
Pardon me?
I'm stacked up.
Okay.
Otherwise, I would be interested, but.
Jennifer?
No, I have other interests. Thank you.
You have other interests? Oh, gee.
Okay.
No more.
Okay. Okay.
Mary.
So.
That was a blush.
That was it. Jennifer was explaining to me that she had other interests. Okay. So if nobody else wants to do it, I would accept.
All right, I'll nominate Ms. President Lucy.
Second.
Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Passes 5-0. I'll go in and take one for the team. if elected. But, yeah, Barbara is the only one who, gosh, she was on there 12 years?
Yeah, it's a long time.
Long time. Okay, secondly.
On agenda item 8B, then?
Yes.
Again, discretionary board, who do you want to appoint to participate in the Pismo Beach Regional Groundwater Sustainability Project? And, you know, primary and a secondary as all as, or primary and alternate as all as within the options. On the question of my participation, you don't, that's a foregone conclusion. I will be. Some of the larger agencies, the governing boards, city councils, I didn't follow what they did, but they might have been identifying which staff members they want because they have lots of staff members. And they were basically looking for somebody from management and somebody from the technical side. And for Oceano, it's recognized that I'll be filling kind of both of those roles.
And they don't have you on staff, so.
Yeah. So, you know, we have limited options here in Oceano. I will be there. You don't need to, you know, take action on that. It's for the elected officials.
I can't imagine you not.
It's good. Okay. I'm really looking forward to that. I think Pismo Beach is doing
this
a really good job.
This is going to be exciting. Yeah. It's actually, this one's going to be exciting. So.
This is the one I'm interested in.
It is. Yeah. Good. I'm glad to hear it. But Matt, are you interested in this one?
I don't have time.
Okay. So I'd like to nominate
Jennifer. Did I hear
Jennifer
say she is interested?
Oh. I would like to nominate Jennifer for the Groundwater Sustainability Project Working Group.
I'll second that.
Okay. Do we need an alternate for that?
My recommendation would be to do one at a time. First, your primary.
Okay. So, do we hear any more discussion? Do you want to stand up and give a speech or anything?
No, I will pass. Thank you.
Okay.
I thought she had a stump speech prepared.
Go get her stump. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Abstained? Good luck.
Thank you, Jennifer.
You'll be great.
All right. I'll nominate Karen White, Vice President White, as alternate.
You know what, Matt? Well, I'm thinking that we actually need somebody from Sand District
okay.
in there. That's what I would like to try to
okay.
make some consistent.
For clarification, there's a nomination on the table. There isn't a second, and so we either hear for a second or the nomination can get withdrawn.
I can withdraw it.
I'll withdraw it then. She's asking me to withdraw it. That's fine. She volunteered. It's like the Army.
Okay. You're in. So Matt's withdrawn his. Right. Karen's withdrawing her nomination. Okay.
Yes.
So, Matt, do you want to do it?
I'll nominate President Lucy then. No, I don't have time.
Okay. So this would be the alternate to Jennifer.
Correct.
Okay. I'll accept that nomination.
Is there a second?
Board vote.
Second.
Second.
Okay. Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? 5-0. Okay. I got your back. Okay. Got to call me days in advance.
No.
All right.
On item number 8C, which is a review of the project closeout report for well number 5 rehabilitation project, approval of project termination. That was a project where out of the total estimated cost of $160,000 or so, $120,000 was awarded in a grant from the State Water Board. Because the well could not be rehabilitated, we needed to stop work, and our next steps are really just to abandon the well. When we implemented that effort, we were very conscientious to try to minimize our upfront costs and essentially only spend money that we were going to otherwise have to spend anyhow. And that worked out very well, only spending $20,000 out of the $160,000 budget to get to the point to determine that rehabilitation was infeasible. That recommendation came both from the well pumper as well as from Fugro, our hydrogeologist. Tony as well looked at the video. I looked at the video. But it was really the experts that we had hired who put forth the recommendation it could not be rehabilitated. I expected, without completing the project, that we would get no grant revenues for the costs that we had incurred. The State Water Board has indicated that they will consider actually reimbursing us some of those costs.
Great.
So we had to complete the project closeout report by the 10th. We sent it to them on time. I think that Director Blackburn may have identified we had two of our appendices that were flip-flopped, but all the information is still in there. So March 1st, we have a deadline to submit an invoice. We'll be working with the State Water Board to see if we can get reimbursement on some of those costs. And if that is the case, then that, I think, would be revenues that I would not have otherwise anticipated. So we're hopeful there on that good news. But again, in addition to the fact that we were able to limit total cost to $20,000, a fairly significant amount of that was with our own field crews, because Tony and Jason and Casey demoed the well house. They uncovered a lot of the pipes so that we could do schematics in the yard. So those were costs that were already fixed costs to the district. And if we were able to get reimbursed on some of those, then that would be really good news. But in any case, we'll be submitting the paperwork and the invoice to the State Water Board by before the March 1st deadline. And when we find out if and how much we get reimbursed, we'll report back to the board at that point in time.
Pavo, I wanted to ask you, you have page 6 of 14 on your report. It has, this might be the teardown. It's just part of the whole Well 8 report. Well 5, excuse me. It has, on the equipment, it has AG backhoe. And then
can
it has
you
the dump truck.
Which page are you on?
It's plans and specs.
53.
Let's look at the left bottom corner there.
83 of 154 then.
The last page.
And then page 53 of 20.
I got it. Oh, there were, so when we have equipment, if you'll notice there was no hours, so we didn't use AG backhoe or anything.
Okay.
I think as Tony mentioned in his operations report, he had another project where he needed help from AG.
Correct.
The leak. So in terms of this template form, that was on there, but in this particular project, that's right, there was no hours, and AG staff and resources were not, you know, they didn't help us on this particular project.
All right. I was just trying to figure out if it was just, you know, breaking down the cost of equipment expenses, and the AG part was what threw me off. Yeah. Thank you very much for clarifying that. Sure, Karen.
Could you give us some information about how you would abandon this well?
Sorry. I just wondered if you could give us some little bit of just petite details on how you abandon it. Fill it full of concrete or... Because it's a wide well.
Yeah, so capping them and you know, capping them with concrete is fairly common. What we'll do is we'll coordinate with the Division of Drinking Water out of the Ventura office to make sure that the well abandonment standards are followed. I can't, off the top of my head, you know, specify exactly what they are. And what I'll do is I'll have Tony come back during his operations report at a future meeting and, you know, explain what the standard is and then what we ended up having to do.
Because you hear of people falling in wells, old wells and stuff, and that's 12 inches and...
It's a 14-inch casing,
14-inch
yeah.
casing, yeah.
Yeah, so...
I just want to be reassured that it's going to be abandoned forever.
Yes, abandoned forever.
Yeah, thank you.
Okay, did you get that answered, Karen?
Yeah, and okay. I might say that is an incredibly comprehensive... Very informational report. Thank you. It's well done, and that probably is why we're getting some money back.
And Pava, will it be Fisher Pumping and Well who will finish capping it off?
I'm not sure. Hopefully, okay. If it's easy enough, the crews will do it.
Okay. Yeah. Great. Thank you.
I did want to thank the crews for that hard work involved in digging up the yard. And that's a lot of things to do, so thank you.
Yeah. Yeah, thank you very, very much. Wish you would have saved that old wood, but hey.
Okay.
And then on to D.
Madam President, on item C, it's important for public agencies when we complete a project or we don't complete a project that your board takes action on project closeout. So there is a recommendation that I would hope that your board would approve.
Pardon me?
There is a recommendation to terminate the project that it would be appropriate for your board to consider.
I'll move to approve the project termination on agenda item 8C.
No, second.
Okay. Any discussion? Okay. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Abstained? 5-0.
One final comment, and that's how, even though obviously the well couldn't be saved, this project was really well run, Paavo, and thank you for your foresight obtaining this grant money and everything that you did for this, and it was a worthy exercise.
Thank you.
Yeah, thank you very, very much. Okay, so we're done with C, and if there's anything else we need to do to clear out, clean that, close it out,
right. You'll
let us know, right? Okay, and then D.
So on D, the reason why this is in front of your board for consideration is that all of the accrued vacation time that I have as of December 31st of every year by contract gets frozen, and then I get paid for it on my anniversary date. That provision in my contract was also in predecessor contracts. It's nothing unique to my contract. But what it really means is that I only right now have about 3 hours of vacation time that I can utilize. And so to be able to utilize vacation time that was on the books as of 12/31, it requires your board's approval. I have been invited. NOAA extended the invitation for me to come out there and speak at their coastal conference regarding California's drought. And it's one of those sort of motivational items, recognizing that benefits to the district might be relatively limited is why I'm proposing use of my vacation time. If I had been the County Public Works Director, I think I would have taken a different approach, but I'm being, you know, cognizant of Oceano. The idea that there is some benefit is where I sort of put out the thought that maybe it's a 50-50 split, that I use 20 hours of vacation time and then maybe 20 hours of work time. The alternative recommendation is that I just simply use vacation time and then record the hours where I'm actually corresponding and working with the office. And either of those approaches is, you know, fine with me. I'm just hoping that I get your board's approval to be able to do it. All the costs for travel is covered by NOAA. And as I explained in the board report, there's no speaking fees or stipends above and beyond my reimbursement of the travel, specific travel-related expenses.
I think that's fine. And it brings up another issue that maybe we can consider at another time, and it is that the vacation extinguishes, and maybe we ought to consider a support at another time, making it consistent with the other employment practices for the other employees. So. But that's not on the agenda for tonight, and so I think that this does have some benefit, increases the exposure for Oceano and our experience, our outreach. I would be willing to get behind a 20-hour vacation work split.
I would certainly support that.
Yeah. It also speaks to the fact that you are a national expert in this area, and Oceano, we were very, very fortunate for you to come to our little place and try to help us, and you have tremendously, because as you well know, you know, people are still trying to close us down. So I would like to see that go back on the agenda, because I did not feel comfortable about having to take vacation time to do work, and but like Matt said, it's not the time to discuss it, so we will follow up and change and look at that policy expansion or something. So do we need to vote on this? Do we need to give you our blessing? Do we need to say go, Paavo, go?
Probably a vote, because essentially what it is that your board's waiving a contract provision and allowing me to use vacation time that is otherwise frozen. And so I think that the motion might be in the order of authorizing 20 hours of vacation time for that conference, with the other 20 hours being coded as working time.
Okay. Does somebody want to entertain that?
I'll make that motion, that we authorize our general manager, Pava Ogren, to attend this NOAA concert, I wish.
Not add on.
Oh, they found me out.
What a band.
Get new strings on your guitar. Let me start over. I'll make a motion. We authorize our general manager, Pava Ogren, to attend the NOAA conference with zero travel-related costs, that 20 hours of vacation time be allowed to be used, and that 20 hours of work time be allowed to be used.
Second.
Okay. Any more board discussion on this? Hearing none. All those in favor?
Aye.
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 Opposed? Abstained? 5-0 passes.
Thank you.
Enjoy yourself. Yeah.
Congratulations.
Make us proud, as always. And is it going to be televised on the National Weather Channel or C-SPAN? You know, I actually do pick up their stuff on C-SPAN quite a bit.
Yeah. You'll get the T-shirt that says, "My board sent me the NOAA concert."
Well, my son told me that he wasn't very excited that if I ever get scheduled on TED Talks.
On what?
On TED Talks.
That's way too cool.
Then he would give me a pat on the back, and I said, "No, I don't think that's ever going to happen." So, but that's the way kids are supposed to be. They keep you humble, right?
Right. Yeah. That's what they're supposed to do.
So,
great.
On agenda number 9, I included written communications from Central Coast Water Authority, mm-hmm. only for purposes of public disclosure. They had a water testing. That they did not comply with the testing requirements. It doesn't mean that the test was a positive.
Right.
It's just that they had submitted tests, the ice pack had failed, and then the email that they got to do the retesting they had missed. So they've got some internal controls that they've identified that they're going to implement. There's no action. I just wanted to make sure on those types of items to include them in correspondence as a matter of public disclosure.
And they are not going to recharge us for that testing. That will come from their pocketbook, right?
Well, every
that
cost
well
they have,
is
yes,
either
no. You know, even when the agencies make mistakes, the cost of the mistakes still get passed on. So,
no.
Oh, boy.
No.
It's not going to be
no
a noticeable cost, but I can assure you that CCWA recovers all their costs. It's just that challenge that we all have, that when government makes mistakes and expends money, then we still all pay for it, whether we like it or not. It's kind of a bummer, but yeah.
Are we going to correct their letterhead so that this letter would come to the real manager of this agency?
No. I didn't even notice that. Yeah, I'll let them know. I just get right into the body and see what the substance of the discussion is.
I love that. I love the spelling of authority, too.
Yeah.
Okay. Late received written communications. Excuse me. None. Hearing items. None.
I do have a question about written communications. I think we all saw that article about the workers' comp and Roy Grandy. Do we have the same workers' comp carrier? Are we part of that group?
No, we're not
Thank
part of that
God.
Group.
God.
Okay, then I'm not going to worry about it.
Yeah.
I wouldn't want to be in that mess. Is the Five Cities Fire Authority part of that workman's comp group?
Well, actually, it's not. It's their general liability insurance. So I'm not sure who their workman's comp, but they use one of the public agency authorities.
JPIAA or IA or something, right?
Yeah, so no, we separately buy our general liability insurance.
Okay. So
we've kind of had a little bit of a
hybrid. Collaborations are involved in that.
Pardon me?
None of our collaborations are.
No. What that particular authority is for agencies that have relatively low risks.
Mm-hmm.
They have a history of low risk.
Right.
And I think that what prompted their communications with the city of Aurora Grande is that as a low-risk provider, if they see anything that they perceive as being a risk, they're going to communicate because they want to keep all of their agencies as a low risk. The ability of Oceano to participate with a low-risk authority in the future is something that we're going to hope for, but we got a little bit of work to do there.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Future agenda items?
Yeah, I want to run through sort of some of the hot topics because it's a new year and we're going to have a lot of work.
Yes.
So at the next meeting, I want to cover the six-month budget review and I want to talk about 2016 goals, how we did in 2015. Other items that are going to be coming up in the very near future are Air Park Drive. The county is replacing the bridge, and we're going to have some coordinated efforts with them. Our district engineer is putting together a proposal for his costs associated with our utility relocations. South County Sanitary Garbage Franchise Extension is going to need to be on the agenda in the relatively near future, and I'll be meeting with them next week with their consultants. This is, you know, they went through the rate increase for their anaerobic digester on green waste and everything, but they're also seeking a franchise extension. I'll be bringing that back. We've been doing some more work on the generator project and really need to get that back on the agenda and downsizing that project so that it only is for the fire department because the cost of also well 8 was just too exorbitant. And I was finally able to find a record where the county concurred that the capital facilities fees that we have, and we've got something like $160,000 in the bank right now. I can't remember the exact dollar amount, but that money, the public facilities fees, that can be used for the generator project. So got that confirmation, and that's good news because then we'll have a good path for funding on that. So those are some of the five items that I'm going to be concentrating on to bring back to your board in the near future. My thought on a special meeting for Phillips 66 is that if, in fact, the meeting with the Oceano Advisory Council gets established, Director Blackburn right now is working on behalf of OAC to try to develop a forum with Phillips 66, that if that community meeting happens, then my recommendation is that your board's special meeting be done concurrently with OAC, and that way it's one meeting, it covers both OAC and your board having a special meeting, rather than two different meetings on Phillips 66. And certainly that's allowable. You can have a concurrent meeting with anybody, really. We just have to...
Was the meeting on 66, or was it going to be on cleaning up the debris?
66, I think, is...
I like that idea.
Also mentioned a special meeting for the homeless.
Public speaking time in half?
Pardon me?
If you combine two meetings into one...
No. Please, the board's talking right now.
Okay, so what I had thought I had heard from earlier discussion after public comment was that your board wanted to entertain a meeting or regarding Phillips 66.
Yes.
That's what Matt had mentioned.
Okay.
And so as this meeting has followed through and I've given it some quick thought, my recommendation one is, well, first off, I think it needs to be a special meeting because normal business needs to be conducted during your normal business meetings. As a special meeting, you know, we can call it within 24 hours of notice, and that way if it lines up with an OAC, because that's still yet to be confirmed whether OAC is going to get Phillips 66 out there or not. But the basic idea is if OAC is going to be having a meeting, if your board desires to have a meeting, then my recommendation it would be a concurrent meeting where both the OAC council as well as your board is attending. Clearly, both boards would then be taking separate actions, but concurrent meetings are very common. We would just have to notice that you're going to be having a meeting in accordance with the Brown Act.
So my only comment on that is that I don't know that we were actually going to be holding a meeting. It was going to be a separate forum. We actually may be having a meeting the Monday before that, or just nearby the time.
So if OAC is not actually having a meeting, then are you going to have a quorum issue. Or if you have a forum, then the question is, you know, your board can sit there and observe the forum and then deliberate it. It's really kind of up to you. My just thought was that if Phillips 66 is going to be out here, if that ends up happening, then that would give you the opportunity to hear what Phillips 66 has to say, mm-hmm. give you the opportunity to hear what the opposition has to say, and if your board is inclined to want to be able to listen to that, then I think that that would, you know, be one possibility that would be working. Whether your board wants to act or not is really your discretion.
There's a little bit of awkwardness in that, that the two members of this board are on the Oceano Advisory. I don't know.
Yeah, but that's okay because each of the boards would then have their own time to deliberate. We have an example in this county where it happens all the time, and that is the City of Morro Bay and the Cayucas Sanitary District. When they meet together, each of the boards is actually kind of convening separately. In order for them to move forward on actions, each of those boards have to take the exact same action in order to move forward. It's a kind of a strange type of unique situation. But again, that's an example where you can have multiple boards and at the same meeting. You just have to separate your deliberations.
I think that, and correct me if I'm wrong, Jennifer, is that OAC is looking to have their forum relatively quickly before our next meeting.
Not
before our next meeting?
No.
Okay. So,
but I, the advisory council, I don't believe, is planning on deliberating at the forum. It is purely informational for the public.
Well, we could still hold it concurrent. That what the advisory council decides to do is independent of what we would decide
right.
to do.
I was just for information
sure.
purposes.
Yeah.
So the deliberating wouldn't be an issue, the double deliberating.
Yeah, I just, you know, so if you have that, if that meeting gets organized, you're going to have the public out here, you're going to have the parties out here. To me, that gives the best opportunity for your board to hear as much input as possible.
I agree.
Yeah, could be.
All right. So
I'm going to be there anyway.
So by the next meeting, we should, well, when you find out information, would you please let staff know, and then...
And then I'll coordinate with you, President Lucy, on the calling of the special meeting.
Correct.
Yeah.
Thanks for finishing my sentence.
Certainly. Sorry.
No, don't apologize.
And then at some point, it doesn't have to be... I think we actually probably have till December, but I if we could look at the contract, Pavo, maybe we can talk about it between now and then regarding the vacation time.
Yeah.
Issue. And the...
Certainly.
Thank you, Matt. Also, too, is that the transient population down on the island, public safety, I don't want it to get lost. I really want something to happen with the sheriff's department.
Right.
And not that their hands are tied. You know, they're not cuffed. They might be tied, but they're not cuffed.
Understood.
You know, so... I think it, the community really wants to put this to bed or at least get some kind of intervention started ASAP, and who better than us? So, is that it?
That's it.
Budget goals, policies around vacation and transient. I mean,
I thought we were going to have the sheriff come for that one, too.
Yeah, sheriff's meeting.
Yeah.
I was just looking for their name, Karen. All right. I'll entertain a motion to adjourn this meeting.
Good night.
So moved.
Okay. All those in favor. Good night.
All right.